الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون أياما معدودات. صدق الله المولانا. In this ayat kareema, Allah Ta'ala has made rozas, fasting, farad, compulsory. Kutiba alaykum as-siyam. According to the jurists, the fuqaha, the imams, the imma, the leaders of masalas, of masail, of fiqha, they've said roza constitutes of three things. With niyat, a person makes niyat also of keeping roza, that is also faraz, that a person must make niyat of roza. If a person does not make the niyat of roza does not take place. But niyat, ulama have given different interpretations. The fact that you get up for sehri, that you are eating sehri, that is already your niyat. Otherwise, if you're not going to keep roza, you won't be getting up 4 o'clock in the morning and keeping and eating, etc. But the best and highest is that consciously you make niyat in your mind that today it's Allah's command. I'm going to fulfill Allah's command. So I'm keeping this roza in obedience to Allah. And really, in actual practical life, in actual fact, humbleness will come to a person. Abdiyat, being a slave of Allah, will only come if we make this niyat. That, Ya Allah, it's your command. And I'm fulfilling your command. That's how a slave is. And that is when the slavery of Allah Ta'ala will come into us. And a person becomes a true slave of Allah Ta'ala. That, oh Allah, your command that I must keep roza, whether I understand, I don't understand, it's difficult for me, it's I'm comfortable with it, but it's your command. And I'm your slave. And I have to fulfill your command. So therefore, I'm keeping this roza. So try and make that niyat after the sehri. Try and make that niyat consciously. Otherwise, roza will be made, inshallah. Our niyat, the fact that we got up, and we know that if, for example, a person overslept, he didn't get up for sehri, and now when he woke up, sehri time is gone, then he thinks, I'm going to keep roza today. So that's his niyat. Today he didn't make sehri, which was his niyat. So he thinks to himself, anyway, I'm going to keep roza. So that is his niyat at that time. But this conscious niyat, this will help one tremendously to reach high and to bring perfection and beauty in one's roza, in one's deen, in one's ibadat, etc. Then with the niyat that we have to make, that we're going to keep roza, and the roza comprises basically of not eating, drinking, and satisfying our sexual desires. Those three things basically. Al-imsak, an-it'am, wa-sharab. That a person keeps away from eating, drinking, etc. And then all the masail are in detail. You do the masail? Roza masail? It will come later. What are you doing first? Achha. I think do roza first in future. And then afterwards taharat and salah. Because they're now roza. That what constitutes eating, something's left in between the teeth, etc. When is it something that breaks the roza? When is it not something that breaks the roza, etc.? So the masail, that is discussed separately. So there's three things if a person observes with the niyat, then his roza is made. But that is the basics of roza, as the ulama, Rabbaniyin, the Salihin explain. According to fiqh, that is the roza. 100% your roza is made. You won't be questioned on the day of Qiyamah that you didn't keep roza, you kept roza. And you'll get the sawab for that roza also. But this is the basics of roza. And really the roza, the completion and the perfection of it, that will give the enjoyment. Then a person will enjoy to keep roza. Like for example, a person is building a house. Build his house, the basics are done. The walls are up, roof is up, windows, doors are in, And now you can stay in that house. The basics are done. But who enjoys staying in a house like that, where there isn't all the painting is not done, plastering, the tiling, the carpeting, but it is a house you can stay. Definitely you can stay in that house. It's a house, but you don't enjoy staying in that house. But when everything is done, all the plastering, the tiling, the painting, carpeting, everything is done, you enjoy staying in that house. So also a roza, if the basics only we do, and we don't do all the finishing, then that is why most of us, we don't enjoy our roza. We find it to be like a burden. We find it to be very hard. But if we do all the finishing and it becomes a beautiful house, then a person will enjoy living in there. So much he enjoys staying in his house now, he doesn't want to go out of his house. If in his house he has got a jacuzzi also, outside he's got a beautiful garden also, he's got a tennis court also, and in the house he's got a sauna also, then he doesn't want to leave his house. Even his friends calling or somebody, he doesn't want to be disturbed also. So if our roza is made so, with all the beauties, with all the extras, then a person won't want to leave roza. He'll want to keep roza all the time. Then he'll get the enjoyment. He'll see what fun there is in roza. And that house, how much comfort can it give him? Roza will give you comfort and protection. Roza is a shield also. And this roza will be a shield as long as a person doesn't do any haram things. Then his shield is cracked. Now his shield won't serve that purpose properly. So a person who has got protection, wherever there can be crooks or whoever, and shaitan is chained, but nafs is not chained. Nafs is still with a person. Therefore, many people still commit gunas also in Ramadan. And also the nafs that has become the slave of shaitan. So even in his absence, they are still obedient to shaitan. And they are still doing, and maybe they are getting remote messages also. Today is a world of all remote things. The telephone, everything remote. So they might be getting still remote messages from shaitan also, how to still trouble you, etc. But if you keep it and it's a proper shield, the roza, then you will be protected. So we should try and keep roza with all the additions also, the completion, the perfection of it. Also in this, a person commonly bluffs himself just to make an excuse and to get away, that as long as I got the basics, I'm happy. I don't want perfection. This is a big lie. You are lying to yourself when it comes to dini matters. When it comes to dunya matters, then nobody say, I don't want perfection. And I don't want the extras. And I don't want the beauty. Our Shaykh, Jazahumullah Khair, Rahimahumullah, said that once Hazrat made bayan in Bombay with regard to the beard, etc. One day we'll discuss that in detail. And also about the mustache. And then Hazrat explained that the best the mustache is, a person must take it off completely. Not with a manual razor. Electric razor is alright. Otherwise with a scissor, you cut it and you remove it completely, as fine as possible. That is the best. And if you like to keep a mustache, you want to keep a mustache, then it is permissible you keep without the whiteness of the upper lip. That must not get covered. Till there you are allowed to keep a mustache. So the Hazrat said that is second division. First division is to remove it completely. So one youngster told I'm happy with second division. As long as I pass, I'm happy. Like we also, many people think, as long as I go Jannat, it's alright. If I don't get the high places of Jannat, doesn't matter. As long as I enter Jannat. So as long as I pass, even if I don't get distinctions, even if I don't get A's, but if I pass, that is what I want. So his father was sitting, his father said, you are lying. When you were getting married, you didn't say that I'm satisfied with a second class girl. With a woman that was married before, for example. You weren't satisfied with a woman that a person won't say is beautiful. Then you wanted the best in everything. And when we prepared your house for you, your furniture, you are not happy with second-hand furniture. You wanted brand new furniture. And you wanted the latest fashion and model of the furniture, the bed and everything. So in the same way, Hazrat Maulana Shah Abrarul Haq Sahib Rahmatullah Ali once went and visit somebody, what a murid, a friend of his. They were waiting for the person to open the door outside the house. Then this person's garden was neglected very much. It wasn't maintained, it was untidy, not kept well at all. The garden next to it immediately was very nice, very well maintained, neat, tidy. So look at Allah wala, and this is what when you have recognized Allah. So Maulana Abrar Haq Sahib Rahmatullah Ali told his friend, what's the difference between the two? So he said, why? Then he kept quiet. So then Hazrat himself said, those people have kept a gardener to look after their garden. This person hasn't kept a gardener. So his garden is neglected. So he said the same way, our spiritual life, a person who has kept a gardener, a sheikh to keep his garden clean, and to see that his garden is maintained, he'll have a beautiful garden like that. And a person who didn't keep a gardener for his nafs, for his ruh, for his spiritual diseases, he's just allowing everything to grow wild. So much so, the grass will grow also, that your wife will also say, I don't think we ever need to go back to Kruger National Park. Our own garden is a Kruger National Park. And then, yeah, you can expect snakes also to come now. You can expect other all dangerous things to come. So if a person who didn't keep a garden a share, this is how his spiritual condition becomes. Then Maulana Abrarul Haq Sahib Rahmatullah Ali said, you keep your garden, dunya's garden, nice, tidy, it's not haram, it's permissible, it's allowed, there's no problem with that. But more than you worried that your garden must be nice, your house must be neat, clean, tidy, more than that, worry about your deen. As you want your house also to be clean, tidy, it's no problem. But more than that, worry, my Quran Sharif must be correct. My makharij must be correct. My tajweed must be correct, etc. And about our spiritual condition, more you must worry about that. So in dunya's matters, everyone will want the best. Well, whoever can afford it, if you're flying also, if you can afford first class, you'll go by first class. If you can't afford it, it's a different thing. But if you can afford it, you'll go by first class. It's human nature that you like the best in everything. One person was walking and he saw a woman and he just said, I fell in love with this woman, such a beautiful. And he started stalking her, walking behind her. She became worried. This person here is a dangerous man, walking like this behind me everywhere. So when she came to her house, she thought he'll follow her now in the house as well. So as she was entering, she turned around and she told him that you are walking behind me. He said, yes, you're so beautiful, I'm in love with you, and all whatever he wanted to say. So she said that my sister is coming at the back and she's even more beautiful than me. So immediately he looked that side. So then she gave him one slap and she said, just now I was the world to you, and you'll give your whole life for me, and I'm only the one for you. Now just I told you my sister is coming. So this is nature of man. He wants the best all the time. So even so, in our deen also, we don't now say that it's alright, my roza is made, that is enough for me. My namaz is made, I made my namaz. My ustad, Hafiz Muhammad Sallusab Rahmatullah Ali, when I was making imamat, he was very particular on, very pious person. So he should say that today we are just worried namaz is made. But are we worried, is my namaz accepted by Allah or not? That is a different thing. I made my namaz. That a person, for example, wants to apply for a passport, visa, whatever, any other work, and you made your application, you gave it in, you say, well, my work is done. You're not worried whether you're going to, it's accepted, whether you're going to get your passport, your visa or not, that you're not worried. There's no stupid like that. That you just made your application and now you are resting. That I did my work. I made my application. So making our namaz, that is, we have just made the application. But we should have that concern, is my namaz accepted or not? And then acceptance of namaz also, we should consider, which I have mentioned, and we should try and make this, that especially at the end of namaz, when we are reading the last dua, Allahumma inni zalamtu nafsi, at that time make this muraqabah, that Ya Allah, you gave me such an occasion to meet with you, There's 4 minutes, 5 minutes, how long it takes to, 6 minutes it takes to make 4 rakats of namaz, 3-4 minutes to make 2 rakats of namaz. What a golden opportunity I had to meet you. But unfortunately, when I had that moment, I was moving around in the world. I was cleaning my toilet also. I was sleeping at that time. Where and where our thoughts go? That you gave me that, oh Allah, make me maaf. What an occasion you gave me and how I destroyed it. And also think of the hadith that when namaz is made, then the acceptance of it is for some people is 100%. For some people is 10, 50, 10, 2%, 2%. Somebody, it is not accepted. It just goes and it's thrown back as a dirty cloth at that person. And it says, as you destroyed me, may Allah destroy you also. So we should be very, at that time, then very soon inshallah, we'll see we'll get more concentration and we'll make our namaz correct. So we should try and improve and get the best out of our deen also. Not just that it's made, it's done. No, but try and get the best in deen. A person who hasn't got a job, crying for a job. And in dunya, he's crying all the time, I want a job. When he gets a job, then we see many people, we experience this, to get a job, they are very humble and that. But once they are now settled, then you see that the wings start coming out now. Now they're making this demand, now they're making that demand. Everything, that is nature of man, always. So indeed, we have come, try and get the best out of deen. And this will come when we realize that our dunya's life is dependent on our deeni life. Our dunya's life, the quality of our dunya's life is dependent on our deeni life. And our deeni life will regulate and make or break our akhirat's life also. And deen is not only for akhirat, it is now immediately for dunya. And then of course for akhirat also. If we get that realization, if this wrong aqidah of ours comes out, that dunya we will get when we strive for dunya. You strive for dunya, Allah says clearly in the Quran Sharif, a person who makes a niyat of dunya only, we will give to whom we want to, how much we want to. And for akhirat, ma lahum min nasib. They got no share in the akhirat. And a person who makes his deen his object, Allah Ta'ala makes his dunya also. Allah makes his qabr and akhirat also. So deen we must make our object. This vast majority of Muslims, non-Muslims are 100%. Their yaqeen is how much we make of dunya. For that dunya's education. And for that effort for dunya. How much we earn, so much our dunya will be made. The very fact that belies this, that goes against us, are their own statistics. According to World Health Organization, the highest amounts of suicides are what are called in first world nations, in developed countries. The highest amount of suicide. If all this earning, etc., and having lot money and material things, if that could give you your peace of mind, which actually why you are doing all this. You are building, you are earning a lot, building a big house, and everything you are doing is to get you peace of mind. If that can give you peace of mind, then why do these people who have got the most, why are they committing suicide? That is a total lie. One person explained this beautifully. He said, how I wish and I make dua that everyone must get whatever he wants in life. Must become the richest man. Everyone must become rich and get whatever he wants. Then everyone will realize that what we actually wanted is not in this. Our riches, our enjoyment is not in money, it's not in material things. We all thinking we are bluffed by shaitan. زُيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ. It has been made beautiful for us. And we think in material things are all our enjoyments and our pleasures. Whereas it is not kept there. It is kept in deen. عَلَىٰ بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبِ. And how much of whole of deen is in a person's life, even if he hasn't got material things. But the object, peace of mind, contentment of heart, Allah will bless him with. Hazrat Maulana Shah Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali said these words, and according to my rough estimation, it seems he was really inspired by Allah Ta'ala, that at the time when the Jewish were making the Jewish protocols, And one protocol they had passed that we will bluff the people in the world that that you get the material things, things of dunya, education of dunya, houses, cars, all the things of dunya, that we will bluff them that when you have that, you have got peace of mind. And it appears to my, in my rough calculations, when this meeting was taking place in Vienna or so, wherever it was taking place, at the same time, Maulana's Malfooz came out, that Samane Rahat Aur Cheez Hai, Rahat Aur Cheez Hai, that the things of comfort are something else, and comfort itself, that is something else. To understand this, it is not so difficult. One broad example: sleep is something else, and a bed is something else. You got money in your pocket, 15,000-20,000 rand, you can go to a furniture shop and buy the best bed on the market. Bed that got gas also with it, that lifts it up, arranges it this way, that way, makes the mattress softer, makes the mattress harder. All those things, with your money, you can go and buy the best bed in the market. But sleep, you can't buy anywhere in the market. It's not in a chemist, it's not in the doctor's surgery, it's not in an injection, it's not in sleeping tablets. The sleeping tablets, injections will help for a few days, then that also doesn't help. Then you'll find yourself in a med hospital. And after that you'll find yourself committing suicide. Perhaps killing so many people, which is common today. They are killing others, then they kill themselves also. In the whole world. And who the most this is happening? In the police force, who are supposed to give security to everyone. They are the ones who kill their immediate family. Their most dear ones, they kill them first and then kill themselves. So this is a whole big lie. If we can understand that the peace of mind, contentment of heart are not in material things. These things are just to bluff us here. A person, for example, is sleeping on his mattress, old mattress, but he's getting his nice sleep. But now one thought, khiyal sharif, an honorable thought entered his dimag sharif, came into his head that I must change my mattress now. I'm very long now, 10 years, 20 years I'm using this. But he's sleeping fine. But now the thought came. And that one thought which you can't feel, you can't see, you can't touch, it just flew into your head and it flies out, but it leaves behind everything there. Now he thought, I must buy a new mattress. So he went, he bought a new mattress. Now with the new mattress, the old linen doesn't suit now. Now he must buy new linen, new duvets, new bed sheets, everything. With that now, the bed is now smart. The old carpet doesn't suit. Now I must get a new carpet. When he put a new carpet, now the room needs painting now. It needs new curtains you need now. Now the bedroom is made up so smart. Now the bedroom is smart, the rest of the house is not. Now make up the rest of the house also. Make this the lounge, make the kitchen, everything you make. Now you ran out of money, your little money you had, how much? Now you, but your desire, that is, you cannot control that desire now. Now you go and take loans from banks, loans from people who give loans on interest, and on how much of interest you take, all that also. Now your house is made, now your outside garden must be also nice. Now the garden also is nice, now your car also must be updated. The old car doesn't suit all this here. Now when all this is done, now you're a person in a new generation. Now your old generation people don't suit anymore. Your old father who comes coughing all the time, and he's eating paan, and he's spitting everywhere, and he's smoking, and his cigarette butts he leaves everywhere, and your old mother, what her habits all that day, now you need modern friends. You need people also who are smart and up to date, who are modern now. And with all this now, now the accounts are coming in. This company's account, that company's account, this company's, now you haven't got money to pay for that. That good sleep you were getting, and now you lost your sleep completely. You can't sleep. And now you got the worry that you had the house of yours in the town, on your street, was the top house. Everyone was talking about it. But now suddenly what has happened? You're afraid they're going to repossess. The furniture company going to come and take their bed away. All the people, the car people coming to take the car away. Everyone is said they're going to repossess. And all the neighbors going to say that only it was a thing you lived up in a dream for a few days, a few weeks, few months, and now everything is going again. And they perhaps put you in jail, where you are sleeping on your own mattress, now you'll go and sleep in jail there. So this is that bluff of this dunya. Similarly, one person who was sleeping under a tree, a very nice, peaceful sleep he was having. And he was having natural air condition, the wind that was blowing in the village. And he was having natural, permissible, jais music. Birds that were twittering in the tree, etc., singing. And he was having a wonderful sleep. And somebody came along and woke him up, shook him up. He asked him, what you doing? He says, you seem to be such an educated person. A person with so much education, and how you are dressed, everything perfect. You don't know what I'm doing. You have to wake me up to ask me what I'm doing. I'm sleeping. So simple. He says, no, you mustn't sleep. Then what must I do? He says, you must be constructive, and you must be motivated, and all big university words he started using. What does this boil down to? What must I do? He says, you must go and get a chopper and chop wood. And then go and sell the wood, you'll make money. And then you'll make more money. Soon you can buy another chopper. And then you get somebody to work for you. Now you'll be a boss. Now you've got somebody working under you. And you carry on, soon you'll have 10 people working. Soon you'll buy a truck. And then you'll buy 4 or 5 trucks. And you'll be doing a big business. You'll be earning so much. And after that, you'll build a beautiful office. And you'll have modern, up-to-date office you'll have. Then you'll build a beautiful house, and a modern house, and all the facilities and amenities, everything will be there. Then you'll get married, you'll have children, you'll live a peaceful life. So I asked him, what am I doing now? Am I not living a peaceful life now? Do you want to bring me back to the same station, but taking me in a long turn and bringing me back where I was? And what all this now, when I'm a rich man, naturally many people are jealous about me. And they don't like me because I'm rich. Many family people will come for loans, will come for help. And I can't help everyone. They will hate me. Whoever walks in my office, I will think is the man from the tax man. He has come here and he wants to know about the tax, etc. So, and then crooks will be behind me. Now I'm sleeping, no security, nothing I need. But then I'll need so lot of security, and all the security even doesn't help in front of the crooks. So you want to bring me back here. So this is all a deception. In dunya, so our peace of mind, enjoyment of life, wallah, is not at all in dunya. Allah has kept it 100% indeed. And to understand this with another simple example, a poor man who had nothing in his life besides one gold coin. He lost it. So he started looking for it. He was living in a tent shanty, in a little hut. But he's looking for it under the street light, the lamppost. So looking, he can't find it. His friend came past, asked him, what's wrong? He said, I lost my gold coin. I'm looking for it, and I've got nothing else in my life besides this gold. So he felt in pity. He said, let me help you look for it. And it's common, when you can't find something, then you start asking, where you lost it, when you saw it last, where you had it last. So then he said, there in my tent shanty. So he's off. When you lost it there, why are you looking for it here? He said, yeah, there is a bright light. The street light. In my tent shanty, I got no lights. Not even candle, I got no lights there. So, but if you look for it here, under the street light, you can look for it till the cows go home. You can't find it there. Because where it isn't, how can you find it there? You have to look for it, wait for it, where you lost it. And if he goes to his tent shanty, he uses a candle. Or nothing. Just with his hand, he moves around. Small little tent hut, he'll find it hopefully somewhere. Somewhere. So exactly like that, we lost our peace of mind. We lost our dignity and honor when we separated ourselves from Islam, from Deen. And now where are we looking for it? In big houses, big gardens, and smart, delicious food, and cars, and all material things. Today, one friend who Allah had given good understanding, he wrote that he has come into financial problems, but he realized to come out of it, let me lower my standard of living. He was driving a Mercedes Benz. He says, now I'm driving a Nissan Bucky. But he says, when I go to masjid, everywhere, I can just see people measure you according to the car you drive. Let them measure you whatever they want to. But you yourself realize that I have to come. And Hazrat Sheikh Rahmatullah is written, you got debts on you, even if you have to sell your necessary things, sell them, but settle your debts. And then you'll see you'll come out of problem. And Allah's help is with such a person to settle his debts. Today we have got financial problems, but we do the opposite. We go and take loans from these people on interest. We're paying 10% interest here. We go and take a 15% interest loan to pay out this 10% loan here. And in this way, you can, and you don't want to drop your standard of living. That standard of living, you want to maintain it. Your house, your living condition, etc. In that way, you can never come out of your problems. You lower your standard of living. A very beautiful, famous Gujarati saying is that you must stretch your legs according to the size of your blanket. If you got a big blanket, stretch your legs full. You got a half blanket, pull your legs in, but stay. In other words, live your life according to your income. But what we do, we want to increase our income. And then we want to live that high standard of living. No, you just live your life according to your income which you are getting. And you stay content with that. And you stay in a thrifty way of life. You will see Allah will take you out of your problems. And very soon you'll get a nice big blanket and you can stretch your legs fully. In other words, Allah will give you a, but do it the right way. So our success and the object that we are looking for. Today also, unfortunately, a person starts earning, whether he's working for somebody, he starts a shop, and in the beginning it's to earn a living. But soon it becomes a hobby, and you forget why I was earning. You are actually earning to see to your needs, your family's needs, etc., which is honorable, which is required. But now it becomes a hobby. You are earning more than enough. But you're just carrying on. You got the opportunity to open another shop, you open another shop. Third shop, you don't need it. And Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali has written, when a person's earning his livelihood, he's so occupied in it that he hasn't got time for his deen. Then such earning, Maulana says, in my opinion, that earning is haram. That your deen is most important. And earning your livelihood is fariza ba'd al-fara'id. After seeing your fara'id of your deen, then is that fariza. It's not that you now you can't make your namaz and you are earning also. You are earning in a place where all your money is contaminated with interest, etc. With all those things, that is totally wrong. First, you must see to your deen to be practicing your deen and to be learning your deen. And learning of deen is a continuous process also. All the time, from the cradle to the grave, a person has to learn his deen. So if you can't take out time to learn your deen, you are too busy. You haven't got time to make your namazes also. Even in Ramzan, your namazes also you can't make properly. You don't make them with jamaat, you are earning. Such earning is not permissible. So we have to get that right first. And we have to realize that 100%. Our success is not in dunya's things, it is in deen. And we have to, so give preference to deen. Dunya, we all want to beautify and have the best of dunya. And no matter what you got, you want still better all the time. Even your cell phone, whatever cell phone, no. And you buy a cell phone today, tomorrow it is outdated. There are new models and new things which are tomorrow in the market. You can never keep up to these things, technology, etc. You be satisfied with what you need. On the cell phone, what your basic needs are, your motor car, your house, everything. And then you will have time for deen. And this extras of dunya, in most cases, it falls under la yani, unnecessary also. All extras which you can easily, la yani is a thing which does not benefit you, or you can, that you can do without in your deen or your dunya. How many of us, my one sister-in-law, very, very modern she was. When I decided to become an alim, she was the one most upset. Is this the time to become alim? This is the time you become a doctor, you become lawyers. What's this? You're going to become a maulvi. But alhamdulillah, later, she made bayat to Hazrat Mufti Mahmood Sahib rahmatullahi. The only wazifa he showed her, 3,000 times a day, Durood Sharif. That was her wazifa. But alhamdulillah, she did it. And with our eyes, we saw how her life changed. Her front room was filled with ornaments and everything. And on almost a daily basis, she was getting rid of one thing. Still, she made a house like a tablighi markaz for ladies' jamaats to come and stay. Full parda, all arrangements for everything. And till today, how many years now, full of deen in her house. So this is that when we, in this dunya's things, that all that ornaments we got. One time, one person, Maulana Muhammad Umar Sahib Palanpuri Rahmatullah Ali made bayan, he made tashkir. So the person said, I also got desire now after listening to your bayan, I must go in jamaat, but no money. Where am I going to get money? 40 days I must go, 4 months I must go to another country, it's all expensive. So Maulana took him to his room and tell him, now let me take you into your front room, in our minds. You are sitting with me here, but go in your front room, tell me how much ornaments you got there, and how much you paid for all that. If you just sell that one set of all ornaments, you'll be able to go in jamaat. And your life will change. And you'll change the life of how many other people. So in our houses, how many of extra? One place we went to, one or another country, and it was a ladies' program that we were going for. So when we went there, by the door, to enter, I got very happy the amount of shoes I saw. All stacked up there, the shoe rack, right from the bottom till the top, full with shoes. So I said, mashallah, plenty ladies have come. They were saying that they don't think that they will get a good response. So I could see so many. Afterwards I found out it's all the house lady shoes. there in that country, it's quite safe, so they keep it outside. But if we go and see the shoe racks, in the bathroom or wherever the shoe racks are of the ladies, of the men also today, how many shoes we have got. If you open the cupboard, Allahu Akbar. If we read the stories of the Sahaba, they cried that the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he took a pledge from us, he made bayat with us, that you will only live with how much is necessary for you. And then they cried that we didn't fulfill this. But when they checked up what the full estate was, hardly anything. Nothing, but that also they regarded. And today we, how much? Our shoes, our men's also, women also, see in the cupboard, the amount of kurtas, the amount of things, we don't know if ever we live so long, and we'll use all those things. So we live beyond our means and that. How many things if we went, when we moved into the house that we are living, and the carpenter, Muslim man, very nice man, he was doing all the cabinets and that. So I said, you have so many cabinets? He said, you don't worry. The woman will find something to put in. Everywhere they'll find something to put in everywhere. So all this habit, that is what we must take out. So for dunya, we are doing so much. For our deen, we don't want to make our roza beautiful. We don't want to make our tilawat beautiful. In tajweed, there are rules which are basic rules which must be observed. Makharij is the most important. The words must be pronounced, the letters must be pronounced correctly. Then further than that, there are other rules to beautify the reading. If you don't observe them, it's not gonna, but your beauty, your reading will become beautiful. So read Quran Sharif beautifully. Beautify our Quran Sharif. But who of us will take out time? Allah reward our Jamaat of Sautul Quran and many Qaris in many places. And Qari Ismail Sahib, Rahmatullah Ali, wherever they hear the Qiraat program, they should first take a promise from the Imam or the person in charge there, that after the Qiraat Jalsa is finished, you will have regular Tajweed classes. The people, adults, can come and learn their Quran Sharif. Who of us on a regular basis learn our Quran Sharif? That we take out 15 minutes a week here in the madrasa, carrying on still, Mali Abdullah Dabelia, adult classes. Gee, that was also a very good thing, that once or twice a week, especially for the ulama who are present, and as we also the public, ask our ulama, please have some classes for us. Our aqaid, that is the most important, our taharat, this little bit in Ramzan can never, it's just to give us a taste. That we realize that all this is so important. So beautify our deen, that is the most important. We are only worried about the non-Muslims are doing it. Their yaqeen is not on akhirat. They don't live for akhirat. Our yaqeen is, as how many buzurgs have said, you say you believe in akhirat, but your life belies it. That you don't do anything for akhirat. You are living totally for dunya all the time. Each one, those who regard themselves as pious, let them think, how much of time do I give to my dunya? How much of time do I give to my deen? So, and this is if you are staying away from haram. Otherwise, how many of us are involved in haram also? Even in Ramzan, how many of us get involved in haram? So we should keep our object, our deen, keep in object our akhirat. Every morning when we get up, then make this niyat amongst many others that, Ya Allah, my niyat and object of living. Many of us, we haven't made an object of life. Why am I here? For what am I living in my life? Day comes and day goes. I make my namazes, I eat also, I sleep also, and whatever other work I'm teaching in a madrasa, or I got a shop, whatever, all I'm doing. But for what am I doing? We're just living day by day. But what is the object of my life? Every morning refresh this object. We are in this world. The first primary thing is to please Allah, to make Allah happy. Tell Allah that I'm living in order to make you happy. That is why I'm living. In whatever Allah's happiness lies. Then see in which does Allah's happiness lie. Do that in which Allah's happiness lies. And also make this niyat that I'm living for akhirat. Our Shaykh, Jazahumullah Khair, Rahimahumullah, explained so beautifully that if dunya was the object of life, then how we are living, just all the time, better house, get another house, better car, everything, get a second car, and everything, how we are living. If that was the object, then death should never come to a person. For what you're giving your whole, your 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, working your fingers to the bone, and then finally you have to leave it, how can that be the object of life? For what you humiliate yourself, you disgrace, you work yourself so hard, everything, and then one day you have to leave all this. Philosophers of the Western world, who are whatever their philosophy and whatever it might be, the thing that they hate the most is death. That how can, and the proof of Allah's existence is mort. Man, no man wants to die. And we see the people in the hospitals, 2 months, 1 month under with life support machine, and with our ventilators and what around him, but we don't want to die. Who can stop it? Alaysa Allah bi ahkamil hakimin. Allah's law is absolute. That who would like old age? Nobody wants old age. Everyone wants to stay young. And anyway, if a person doesn't want to live till old age, there is a very easy solution to that. Just die young. Then you won't see old age. You won't have to have your joints paining and this problem and that problem. Just die young and you won't have to see old age. But nobody likes old age also. Nobody likes death. Everyone hates death. But who can stop it? Is there any doctor who can stop death? Is there any Nabi Wali who can stop death? Is there any scientist who can stop death? Nobody can. It's Allah's first system. And Allah's system will work. And death will come. So that proves that dunya is not the object of our life. Akhirat is the object of our life. But we don't prepare for akhirat. How stupid is that person who prepares for so hard for what he's going to leave behind? Like you in a transit lounge. any airport, and you want to, you change the chairs there, and you change the carpets there, and you put frames there, and you say, and you making it beautiful. You're there for 2 hours, maybe 6 hours, maybe 8 hours. Then you're going to leave that transit lounge. And perhaps it's such an airport, your whole life you'll never go back. And that airport doesn't belong to you. And you want to do all that. This dunya is exactly a transit lounge. We are just here in transit. And soon the time will come when we will also have to leave. And we'll never come back to this airport lounge, dunya's airport lounge. We'll never come back to it. Jis dunya se hamesha ko jana, aur phir laut ke kabhi nahi aana. From this dunya, from where we have to go forever and ever. And we'll never return and come back. Yehi irshad-e qutb-e zamana, the great qutb of our time. Hazrat Hakim sahab rahmatullahi alayhi says, aise dunya se kya dil lagana. What you putting your heart in such a dunya which you're going to leave behind? This dunya is just a deception, an open dhoka, but we work for it so hard. So this dunya, we're preparing for this transit lounge all the time. Dr. Abdul Hay Arifi rahmatullah alayhi says, qadam su'e marqad. Our legs, we are walking towards the qabristan. As we are sitting now, we are walking to the qabristan. Our life is becoming shorter. Whatever any person's lifespan, 50 years, 60, 70 years, whatever, as we are sitting, it's becoming less and less now. So we are moving. Though we thinking we are sitting, but we are moving to our qabr now. So legs, with our footsteps, we are walking towards the qabr. Qadam su'e marqad, nazar su'e dunya. But our eyes, we are looking at dunya. Legs, we are walking this way, and we are looking this way at the back. And if a person drives like that, one time, Maulana Inamul Hassan Sahib Rahmatullah Ali in London, they were taking to Heathrow Airport. Many drivers got different habits. This driver had a habit to look around all the time. So Hazrat says, he's a dangerous driver. This, if he's not looking on the road, Rastopar Dhyan Jopai. He's not looking there, he's looking around. So Hazrat asked him to pull up one side. When he pulled up, Hazrat said, now as much as you want to look around. But when you drive again, you keep your eyes on the road. So we are driving to Akhirat, but we're not keeping our eyes on the road of Akhirat. We are keeping our eyes on dunya. Get this degree also, do this job also, get that franchise, buy this property, do this, do that. Dunya all the time. And if a driver, you have to look at the back. But occasionally, with your rear view mirrors, etc., and your mirror, side view mirrors, you look and you just check if the, and you are safe, etc. That's, you have to do that. That's natural and that's necessary. But if a person turns his head around and is driving like this, we get worried. Sometimes they make so much adab. Hazrat has come, Sheikh has come, and he's just looking at Sheikh and he's driving. He'll go where you and Sheikh and all will go, where you will go and die. So look on the road where you are traveling. That is where you must be looking. And if a person can do this somehow, that his head 180 degrees at the back, he turns it around. And he's driving this way. And this we see small children, 2-year-olds, the terrible two, they enjoy the chasing games. Even they just find an open place in the masjid if they are here. Wherever they are, they go with their mothers for ta'aleem. Nice, big place, empty. They start the chasing game. Running after one another, chasing one another. And in most cases, they're looking this side and running that side. They're going to hit their head against the wall. Two of them bump one another. Big bang, you hear. They're all there. Why? Because they were looking at the back. And running and looking, going somewhere else, looking somewhere else. Those are children. Aur hum bachpan ko ponche. We are 55. Lekin abhi bachpan nahi gaya. Our childhood is not gone. We are still like small children also. They are chasing games. And they say we're playing games. We are also playing chasing games. Chasing dunya. This property. That amount of money. This year. That there. All the time we are. And what we are chasing really is a bubble. This dunya is nothing more than a bubble. We are just chasing a bubble. And a bubble bursts and everything comes to an end. We are chasing a shadow. And you chase a shadow, what can you have? You have got nothing whatsoever. One person who was a very good marksman, target was very good. With bow and arrow, today it's with firearms, you make your target, you perfect it. And his target was very good. But he was very lazy also and very stupid also. He wasn't going out to earn, and in the days of before earning, wasn't you going to work in a shop, you going to work in a factory. Earnings in the days of before, you going to hunt an animal, you going to fish, bring fish home, hunt an animal, you bring things home, and that the food, the life carries on with that. And today is the same, but we just via. With the shop, you going to buy the same again. All those things what you need. But that time, it was direct. So this person, his wife, got him ready somehow to go and hunt something. Bring food home. There is no food at home. And she prepared 50 arrows for him. And she got him ready somehow. He went. And he was so stupid that he saw the shadow of the bird on the ground. And he took the arrow and he hit on the shadow. And spot on, dead on, he got the shadow. But what will come in his head? And so stupid, 50 arrows he wasted. He couldn't realize that I'm not getting anything. 50 arrows. When 50 arrows got finished, the day got finished. Now it's sunset, Maghrib time. He's exhausted, he's tired. His capital he had, his 50 arrows, they are also finished. And now he's lying, he's exhausted. Now he see the bird flying in the air. Now he say, if I had one arrow, and he was such a good marksman, that if I shot the bird while it's flying, I should have got it. And really he was such a marksman. But now his arrows are finished. We will say, who can be so stupid? There can't be a person so stupid in the world. But we are just like that. These 50 arrows are like 50 years of our life. And each life we are shooting on the head on the shadow. Dunya. Dunya is a shadow. We are targeting and we're getting happy. I'm getting more dunya. My bank balance is swelling. And now I'm getting a better car, better house. It's all just a shadow. And at the time of maud, this thing opens to a person. And the greatest sorrow and depression a person comes when he made so much effort for his dunya and now he has to leave it and go. You can imagine if somebody crooks, Allah save us all, have to get a hold of you. They don't only rob you of all your possessions, your family and everything, but they strip you naked also. If you got false teeth, they take that also out. They don't leave your false teeth also. Everything they take away. How will a person feel at that time? Like this, when Malakul Maut comes, he strips you of everything. Your ring will be taken out, your watch will be taken out, your specs will be taken, your false teeth, everything, and you know that you are going now. It's not that you are just finished. You know you're going. If you left somebody at the airport and then you took away everything of his and you send him just like that naked, if it was at all possible or permissible, and you put him on the plane naked, you stripped him of everything. Some Allahu Akbar. One friend of ours, Allah may have mercy on all of us, they deported him from Medina Sharif. He's staying there for 30 years. The Home Affairs called him in. That is about 2-3 months ago. And for 30 years he's staying. And they told him, we're giving you 2-3 days, sell all your possessions what you can sell. By the 7th day, you are out of this country. And not to return again. How does a person feel like that? This is, he's going to another country. He's gone to Pakistan. He's going to stay there. But when you go from dunya, and you are stripped of everything. And a person who prepared for akhirat, and then maut comes, and now you are going. That what you prepared for, that is a wise man. But unfortunately, we are so stupid, and the sad part is we regard stupidity as intelligence. And today, if a person prepares for akhirat, everyone will say that you got your sense, you're right in your head. You're not preparing for dunya, you're not worried of your house, you're only worried of akhirat all the time. And a person who's only preparing for dunya, oh, this is a smart person. This person is he's in tune and in line, and he knows what is happening. Whereas it is the complete opposite. So akhirat, so our deen also, our rozas also in this month, let us make our rozas beautify our rozas. So don't only keep the basics of roza, that is keep with intention, keeping away from food and drink, and keeping away from our desires. Not only that, but let us go forward and beautify. So ulama have written that the beautification of the roza is that you learn to control your tongue also, your eyes also, your ears also, your heart and mind also. And then see that at the time of iftar and sehri, you are eating halal food. And halalan tayyiban, good, healthy, wholesome food. And also, after the roza, that a holier-than-thou attitude doesn't come in you. That you didn't think that I'm very pious and I'm better than other people. Another simple example for this to understand, that we should be making our akhirat in rozas, like a person who starts a business, and he buys an article for 5 rand, and he sells at 5 rand. He'll be the busiest man in town. Because nobody else will sell at cost price like that. He's selling everything just at cost. But, and he'll be going to the bank and making big deposits for 2-3 days a week. But he'll be the first man out of business also. Because he didn't make profit in his business. So he can't pay his workers also. He can't pay his rentals. He can't pay his water and light accounts. He can't pay anything. Or he'll be out of business and he'll be in debt now. But a person who makes profit in business. He bought for 5 rand and he sold for 20 rand. He sold for 25 rand. And when the money comes in, then he'll be a happy man. That I've made so much money. So if we just keep the basics of roza, it is like we're buying for 5 rand and we're selling for 5 rand. And such a businessman, that's why many people don't like the rozas. If they could help it, they wouldn't keep it. But pressure of society, what the family will say. But they, or just they doing it just listlessly, without feeling, without enjoyment. They're just doing it because they're not getting enjoyment. But if you make the profit in roza, then you'll enjoy keeping roza. Then you'll want to keep even out of Ramzan. It will be a pleasure for you to keep. If we are making the profit. And the profit is that you keep roza of the tongue also. Roza of the eyes. Roza of the ears. Roza of the mind and heart. Roza of the food that we eat. That is, stay away from all undesirable food. And roza of pride. And ostentation. All that also. Then you will see, you'll get the enjoyment of roza. And that is what will give you the, which will give you the impetus, the desire to carry on more. And then Ramzan will be a month that you look for. It won't be like a burden, but a month that you look for. So let us try and make this month like that, so that we can keep our rozas. So don't just be satisfied with the basics of roza, or the whole of deen, namaz, everything. But try and beautify it. And also, it is Allah's system that Allah does not allow a vacuum anywhere. That whenever a place is empty, it is filled with something else. So when we are not working on our deen, then Allah by punishment made us involved in dunya. Now dunya we are worried about. My clothes, my house and everything. And this over and over it works and it plays itself everywhere. Where you don't give, where people stopped reading Quran Sharif in the house, Allah put as a punishment TV in the house. Now watch the filth. And how many people are so addicted and glued to it, to all the filth and haram. And they're enjoying it. How shaitan has bluffed us. Anything, people who didn't keep proper sunnah beard, and they made a mock of it, kept a wig as a beard. Allah made a law in that country, nobody is allowed to keep beard. All this doesn't just happen like that. It is our own action. Jaise karni, waise bharni. Na maane to karke dekh. Jannat bhi hai, jahannam bhi hai. Na maane to marke dekh. So if we will come back to our deen, and it is comes in a riwayat, that if we make deen come into our lives, Allah will put rulers who will be kind to us. And when we live a life of dunya, Allah puts rulers that will make zulam on us, that will give us a rough and a hard time. And so it is up to us. So give deen its proper preference. And Ramzan, rozas, make rozas what rozas are supposed to be. May Allah give us all tawfiq and let us beautify our rozas. We will discuss that inshallah. Subhanallah. Thank you.